Hello, hello. This is Frankie Price from Mosaic Music Instruction. The podcast this week is the second in a series of conversations that I have developed by listening to my students. Over the past few years, I've had students ask me to elaborate on specific concepts, and I encourage anyone who is listening to email me with suggestions for future episodes. Feel free to let me know how I can help you, all right? I plan on releasing a new podcast every other week or so, along with a couple videos a week. These videos include a lick of the week, in which I show you a short solo-based fill on the guitar and explain to you what I'm playing and how to transpose it to other keys. My goal with that one is to add to your bag of tricks in such a way that your solos start to sound a little more exciting. I also have been filming a lesson of the week demonstrating a different warm-up, skill, or technique-based exercise. Please listen to those or watch those, and I think they'll benefit you in various ways depending on how much you know or how much you're willing to learn. Today, however, I am going to discuss intervals. All right, an interval is the distance between two notes. Usually when identifying intervals, it is either going to be visually or orally. All right, and let's talk about understanding intervals in a visual sense. Intervals are either melodic or harmonic. Melodic intervals are intervals played one after another in a melody. Think of any melody you hear someone sing. All right, it could be on the radio or recording, anything. Harmonic intervals are intervals that sound at the same time. All right, so think about three background singers singing or holding down all 10 fingers on the piano. All right, it's the same as like strumming all 6 strings on the guitar. So those notes all happen at the same time. And so when describing intervals, we talk about size and quality. All right, size is the number determined by the distance between the letter names. All right, let me explain that. For example, B to C is a second. C to D is a second. But then you go E to G, that's a third. E, F, G. 1, 2, 3. All right. C to G is a fifth. C, D, E, F, G. They're 5 away from each other. All right. To figure this out, you take the note you're starting with and count that note as 1. So if C is 1, then D is 2. E is 3. F is 4. G is 5. That makes it a fifth. Hopefully that makes sense. You can do this with any of your notes. But for now, only think of the note. Don't use any sharps. Don't use any flats. We're just talking about A, B, C, D, E, F, G. All right. In this pattern, it goes all the way up to the 13th with a repeat of the root being called an octave. The prefix OCT means 8. All right. Octopus, octagon, octave means 8. It means that the octave, the repeat of 1, is the 8th note in the scale. All right, we call this the perfect unison interval. Now, hopefully you understand how to assign a number to the different intervals. So let's talk about the different qualities those numbers may possess. All right, intervals use the label major, minor, perfect, diminished, or augmented. So let's build them up one at a time. Last podcast, I talked about notes and how those notes are related to each other through either half or whole steps. All right, the smallest distance in a Western scale between two notes is a half step. All right, this includes your chromatic notes. And remember the sharps and the flats that I talked about? All right, for example, let's start at C and go to D. That's a second, right? C is 1, D is 2. All right, I want you to think about your target notes as any form of that note. And what I mean is that if we're talking about D, then any form of that would be D natural, D flat, or D sharp. That means that the distance between C to D is still a second, but that second can have different qualities. So if we go from C to D, then we have a major second because those are the notes found next to each other in a C major scale. So, but if we go from C to D flat, we now have a minor second. The minor portion of the interval happens because it is a half step smaller than the major. That's all it means. I mentioned earlier, when we talk about octaves or unison notes, we're talking about perfect intervals. All right. These are called perfect due to their simple pitch relationships, their overtone series, and the high degree of consonance based upon the frequency ratios, which in short means that there is very little, if any, tension in their harmony. All right. These notes always sound good when used correctly. The idea of perfect also happens in the fourth and the fifth, and this is the same for either major or minor scales. So the unison, fourth, fifths are always perfect. All right. Next, we have the augmented and diminished intervals. The augmented interval is one that is a half step larger than a major or perfect interval. All right. The diminished is one step smaller than a perfect or minor interval. All right. Different starting points, but similar ideas. Sometimes we have intervals that give us similar notes. All right. If we augment the fourth but diminish the fifth, we have the same pitch. For example, in the key of C, an augmented fourth is F sharp, and the diminished fifth is G flat. Sonically, these notes are the same, but I tell my students to think of them as very different notes. They look and behave differently on paper and when we're trying to label chord tones. All right, I know this can be confusing, but for now, think of each note name as a different interval. Believe me, if you do, it will make understanding how intervals work a lot easier. Next, I want to talk about the difference between simple and compound intervals. Simple intervals are the intervals within an octave. All right, so that means compound intervals are the ones greater than an octave. These include the ninth, the 11th, the 13th, notes which we call tensions. All right. If you drop these notes an octave, they are the same as a second, fourth, and a sixth. These are the notes in between our chord tones. A major chord has a root, third, and a fifth. The next most common chord is a seventh. So if we take the root and a third, what's in between? A second or a ninth. Same note. In between the third and the fifth is the fourth or the 11th. Finally, in between the 5th and the 7th is the 6th, or what we call the 13th. Even though there are compound intervals, we typically simplify them and use the unison up to the 7th. All right, just so you know. Finally, I want to talk about the rule of 9. This is an important thing. The rule of 9 is when you invert the intervals around a root and add both directions together. All right, so let me explain that. If you start on a C and go up to an F, you have a fourth. All right, C, D, E, F. 1, 2, 3, 4. But if we start at F and walk up to C, you now get a fifth. F, G, A, B, C. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, if you add them together, you add the 4 and the 5, we now get 9. All right, this works with any note. Go ahead and try it. So, for example, G to A is a second. That means A to G is a seventh. All right, D to A, that's a fifth. So that must mean A to D is a fourth. All right, sometimes using the rule of 9, especially for me, it makes it easier to figure out the difficult intervals. All right, so if you can't see a diminished seventh, for example, then drop it an octave, and now it becomes an augmented second. All right, 7 and 2, 9. Granted, most of this isn't that useful unless you're taking a theory exam, but the basic ones do come in handy. All right, I have my students work on memorizing the most common intervals and their patterns on their respective instruments. Guitarists, they need to see thirds, fifths, octaves, sevenths. Pianists need to see all of them. Well, it's easier because it's all black and white. Right? You can easily see your finger on each key, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But I think the more patterns that you can see, the more your understanding of the fretboard or anything, your keyboard, it becomes faster and more reliable. That to me is the reason why I think you should understand intervals, especially their patterns on your instrument. I have a lot of questions about how chord tones, arpeggios, and patterns apply to music, and I hope this helps to clear up some of the confusion of intervals and how to see those patterns quickly. If you have any questions or suggestions for future podcasts, feel free to send me an email. And the email is frankie@mosaicmusicinstruction.com. So this is Frankie Price of Mosaic Music Instruction saying have a good week and happy practicing. I will talk to you soon. Take care.